Hey, beautiful gems, and welcome back to another segment here on Gems Podcast. It's your girl, Genesis Amaris Kemp, and with me today in the hot seat is Kevin Aregbe, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him before we dive in. So he also goes by Kevo, is from H-Town Clutch City, which is Houston, Texas, for those of you who aren't aware, and he holds an MFA degree. His art ranges from painting to theater production, highlighting racial dynamics and human experiences. He is the director of a nonprofit for arts, Kevo Arts Studios, and teaches at a college with over 10 years of experience as the owner of a successful tattoo studio. Additionally, he has a background in stage plays and filmmaking and has written and published several books. His story was even featured on Fox 26 News in a segment called From Inmate to Entrepreneurship, highlighting the journey from incarceration to business artistry. Kevo was proclaimed his own day from the mayor of Houston, Kevo Day, which is April 6th, y'all, where he is honored for his value to the Houston community. So without further ado, I want to welcome him to the platform. Welcome, and thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And I always like to connect my audiences to the guests. So we could either do a rapid fire 10 question game, emphasis on rapid, or an icebreaker. What are you in the mood for?
I like rapid is fine.
Okie dokie, y'all. Here we go. We're playing rapid fire with Kevin and Genesis. Do 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 do. Question numero uno. What is one word to describe you?
Artistic.
Question number two. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
To be able to hold my breath for a very long time.
Question three. If you had the opportunity to trade places with someone for 24 to 72 hours, would you trade places or remain yourself?
I would trade places with the President of the United States.
Okay. Question four. What's one thing you learned from incarceration?
How to make jailhouse food.
Okay. Question five. What is one thing that you learned in childhood that has helped you be the man you are today?
To be tough.
Question six. Favorite color?
I like every color.
Question seven. Favorite Houston sports team?
Wow. The WNBA team, the Comets.
Okay. Question nine. Would you rather a dream car or a dream home? Or heck, let's go big and have both.
A dream home.
Okay. Question nine. You get three random acts of kindness per day. That's the minimum. What are your three for today?
I don't understand the question.
So random acts of kindness is something random that you'll do for someone else.
I do that every day.
Okay, what are three that you would do?
I probably would buy somebody's coffee. Offer a hug to somebody that doesn't look like they're doing fine, or if I feel like somebody needs advice or a conversation. Sometimes people don't need advice, they need a conversation. I'll extend a phone call.
Okay. And question 10, Dace, y'all. So this is the rules. So it's pass or play. So if you pass, our roles are reversed and you could ask me a question. If you play, I ask one last question to wrap up rapid fire. So are we passing or playing?
I'm passing.
Okay. What is your question?
What's your favorite color?
Blue. So thank you for playing rapid fire, audience. I hope you learned a little bit more about Kevin. Now we're going to talk about the work that he's doing now. So with you going from incarceration to entrepreneurship, there is a lot of learning on both sides of it. You learned when you were in, or some people say caged in, and then now you're caged out. And when I say caged out, sometimes we think that we're free, fully, but there are limitations, whether they're mentally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually, that could still make us feel like we're caged in and we haven't really lived up to everything that we want to do. So let's start with a little bit insight into your background. So what kind of led you to incarceration?
Well, that was so long ago. I'm 36 now. I was 17 or 18 when I went to jail. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a target point for people to talk about me is because it's such a odd mix of what I do now. I think that when people meet me, they're like, dang, you went to jail for that? Because the crime was so harsh. I was in jail for aggravated robbery, weapons charges, and assault. And people talk to me and they're like, you don't seem like that type of person because you're so smart and articulate. And I'm like, you still can be violent. But what led me in was just being a product of my environment and just not understanding how serious that life could be for a young man. And a combination of culture and influence, to be honest with you.
Okay, and I'm glad you stated that, because there are young men and people in general, a lot of people that listen to this podcast, and I want to let people know the reason why I ask about backgrounds is because you should never judge a book by its cover, and your past does not depict where you can go future and forward thinking. But we have to realize that our past does help us mature, our past helps us grow, and etc. So it's those past circumstances sometimes that help us do some work internally for us to materialize that externally, where we reflect, we learn, we grow, and we also plant legacy seeds, meaning had I not gone through what I went through, I would not be where I am today, because there's, even though it sucked, even though it hurt, there's things that I learned in the pain, but the pain birthed purpose. And right now you're on your purpose journey, which is entrepreneurship. You're doing a lot of things to give back to the community. So how would you say going from that to like your transition period to where you are now has helped you really make an impact in community and society?
I think that how you said that people watch this and are young people who watch it, I think that I've become an inspiration without knowing it. And it took a while for me to realize that. I used to hear rappers say that. Rappers used to be like, I'm not your role model. And they don't realize that people identify with them in a way that they feel like they can relate to them. So they become a role model to them. But on my end, it's not that people identify with me. They identify with my past. So I became a huge inspiration for people. So in terms of giving back, like, people support what I stand for and also support where I came from a lot, like, especially here in Houston. So that was always my way of giving back. I've always been able to extend myself somehow, be involved in somebody's stuff for free, because I do a lot of events here.
So what are some of the things that you do stand for, Kevo, for those who may not be aware?
My number one thing that I stand for is integrity. I think that if you're going to be involved with somebody in any type of relationship, whether it be financially or business relationship or personal, with me being a tattoo artist for so long, I've realized that, you know, young people like tattoos, you know, so my audience has always stayed young. So that's come with a responsibility from their parents that they should be able to trust me around them, you know? So for example, whenever, especially girls, whenever younger girls come and have always got tattoos by me and I know their parents, I let them know on a personal level, like, you know, there's a line of respect here that I wouldn't even cross because of your parents, you know what I'm saying? And that since I have integrity, certain things can happen here. It's not that I'm gonna tell your parents about what you're doing, but if anything ever happens here, you know, you'll know you're in good hands. So that's my number one thing, is just having character, having good integrity, because people need people they can trust.
Yeah, I think integrity is very important. That's one of the pillars that we believe in my 9 to 5 is, you know, we have a lot of values that, you know, we beat into our physicians, we beat into those other other folks. And I think integrity is what you do on the scene and what you do behind closed doors. Because if you're doing something differently that you wouldn't do in the naked or human eye, can you really say that you have integrity? And I think that speaks volumes, how you carry yourself on or off the field. And another thing that you mentioned is, you know, some of the work that you're doing. So would you say that your artistry speaks for itself? Is that how you express yourself? And was that your saving grace?
Yeah, as I got older, I realized that art is the only way I express myself. I'm not very friendly in terms of a stranger, you know. But I'm very open in terms of if I'm going to this place, let's say I go to a football game. I know we have a common interest in football. I'll talk to a stranger about football. But if I just go out and I start networking, or I go to a club or a bar, I'm not really friendly. I've noticed that about myself. My form of expression has always been art. And it took me a while to realize that.
So let's dial into there, because you said you're not always friendly when you go out. But what about if you go out and if you just, you know, give them a smile or just have a kosher conversation? You never know how your background, your personality, and what you're doing now could be the saving grace or the conduit to help somebody else just by something small. Even though art is your way of expressing yourself, there may be a reason why you were at that place at that certain time.
So, it's interesting when you asked me about the random acts of kindness, I was thinking, like, I do that all the time. I'll do that and not really speak, like, outside of a conversation, I really won't speak to the person. I'll just be like, you're welcome, bye. Like, I'll buy somebody's coffee and say, yeah, thank you, welcome. And then just, that's it. So those things that kind of just happen and you kind of right place, right time, I haven't really noticed them, because it's my random act is really a random act. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know. I don't want to, like, make it look like I'm just socially awkward. But when you use the word expression, you know, that's how I define art, as an expression of creativity. So I immediately thought, like, that's literally how I express myself. That's how I express my feelings, what I'm going through, what I want to deliver, what I feel strongly about, what I feel deeply about, and my opinions. I express them through art.
Okay, that's fair enough. And when I see art, especially coming from the background that I was in for a while, because I studied psychology for a little bit and under the College of Liberal Arts, and I think art could be expressed in many ways. It could be spoken art, it could be written art, it could be creativity, whether it's murals, paintings, you know, tagging, whatever the case may be. Though there's arts in multi fashion and multi forms, and it could be very multidimensional. And I feel like sometimes in today's society, I feel like we can very much be surface level people. And when I say surface level people, I'm guilty of that too, because sometimes I have a wall up and I'm like, I don't need you in my business, because we don't roll like that. I'm going to share with you what I want to share with you. But as far as what's going on in my home, what's going on in my family, my marriage or whatnot, I'm going to keep that close to me, because you're not within my tight circle, like my A1s from day ones or my five fingers. But then I realized that sometimes a stranger could be our best friend, because if we think about it, all of our best friends were once strangers, but we had some type of linkage where we opened up with them. And I see that in entrepreneurship, especially with running this podcast and it making the ranks that it has. If I never put myself out there and I kept closed off whenever I was going through a dark season in my life of losing my dad, I wouldn't be where I am right now with this podcast. He's the conduit behind it. And when I lost him, my world crumbled, and it's going on 3 years since I lost him. But now what keeps me going is building that legacy now that I'm a mom and I'm a first time mom. And then what also gets me going is the fact that we just lost our second baby too. So it's just like, okay, the pain to the purpose. And that's why I asked you that, because I think a lot of people could relate to, you know, art in various forms. And sometimes we may not necessarily speak the language, but something so soft and subtle that doesn't mean much to us can mean the world to somebody else.
Yeah, it tends to happen like that. If it wasn't for the bad, you wouldn't be able to enjoy the good things in life.
So now that you're on this entrepreneurship, what are some of the things that you have learned from your journey that you could share with the audience if they're interested in transitioning from maybe corporate America or, you know, that hustle and bustle to doing something of their own?
Yeah. Well, if they're an artist, then, you know, you just have to create, because I found myself around so many artists and I saw something. I noticed something that didn't change. Right. I went to an art school before. And at this art school, there were mostly retired people or people that were older than me. I went to University of Houston to get my bachelor's, and I was art studio the whole time. I stayed in the art program. When I got my master's, art program. When I was in Germany, I went to an art residency. And the one common denominator was, like, when you're the artist, they have to create. If they don't, it's almost like a mental... It's almost like for the sake of their mental health, that if they're not creating, they're not wholesome, they're not positive, they don't feel purposeful, they don't feel fulfilled. And I think that in terms of giving advice to entrepreneurs, I would not be, I don't want to say I'm the wrong person for that. It's because I'm not sure what would sustain that person. Some people are sustained by different things, but in terms of artists, I know that most artists are feel sustained by creating. So I would definitely say, if you're an artist entrepreneur, don't put the other stuff first. You know, you really want to make sure you put the art first, because that's what's really going to matter to you when a year has passed from whatever accomplishment you got, is that you're really going to be happy with what you did.
Okay. And you didn't even realize you answered so much more in that question than you realized. I'm going to break it down for you, because you said, if you're an artist. I really don't know about other entrepreneurs, but one of the thing is, with entrepreneurship, you have to do what sustains you. What makes you feel good? Where is your SME, which is your subject matter expertise? How can you take your SME and monetize it? What were you called for? What were you born for? What is your purpose? And how is it rooted in your DNA? Because nobody else can do what Genesis does. Nobody mm-hmm. else can do what Kevo does, because there's only one Kevo.
There's only one you.
And I think that is a part of entrepreneurship, because when you know what your zone of genius is, when you know what is yours, then that's where you could use that as a springboard to catapult you to the next level. Of course, yes, you need to know, you know, finances. You need to know, does it make sense to scale up? Does it make sense to outsource? Does it make sense, you know, to do a brick and mortar? Do you want to be online? Do you want to be brick and mortar? You need to have all those things. But once you get to the point where it's time for you to expand, then there are other SMEs that you could collaborate and partner with that will help you drive your vision further. But if you keep having this vision in your mind and you don't take the vision out of your mind, put it on paper and materialize it, then you're going to remain stagnant and you're not going to really function as an entrepreneurship and as an entrepreneur in the entrepreneurship realm. And I think that's important to think about, not just if you're an artist, a creative, you know, a singer, a dancer, or whatnot. Because artists can have art studios, you could teach art, you could sell art. There's so many things that you could do in art. And I want to make sure we're doing justice to the audience by sharing that, because there's so many people that have amazing things that they could do. And they have these side hustles. But what happens whenever your side hustle is now replacing your full time? Is it time for you to really make that transition in order to make transformation?
Yeah, it is. It is we're the age to where that people have made more money than ever, in my opinion, doing something that they love to do. Whereas in the past, it seems like the data suggests that people were not happy with what they were doing. They just were doing it for money. So it kind of goes hand in hand, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, perfect. So I just wanted to elaborate on that, because I was like, he said the thing, but didn't even elaborate on the thing. So Keva, I want to go a little bit deeper here because I know that, you know, business artistry and what you're doing right now, you have like the tattoos art studio, but you also do other things in the community. So what type of things are you doing within the Houston community where you're bringing that camaraderie in?
Well, every time I let's go back a year ago. I did these art workshops for kids and adults and stuff. And what I was doing was teaching them the foundation of art. That way it would help them with their reading comprehension because the foundation level of art helps you comprehend better. It helps you focus on something for a long time. And that was basically free. I've done a lot of different turkey drives and stuff. I do free tattoo events. Every time I have a production, I give away free shirts. Like, right, this is one of the shirts from one of my plays.
Oh, you guys, send me a shirt. Shoot. We could collaborate with my book, Chocolate Drop in Corporate America. Hey.
I have some shirts for Vincent for my next stage play. The next big stage play I'm doing is Vincent. It's about Vincent Van Gogh. So right now, my focus for the remainder of the year is honestly the Vincent Van Gogh play. So outside of that, in terms of doing anything as of recently, I'm locked in inside the stage play. But in the past, I've done a lot of things.
Okay, so this Vincent Van Gogh stage play that you're working on, have you went to some of the high schools or the community colleges or university to get cast members, or tell us a little bit more about that?
So what I did was I casted some of the people that were in my last play, and I held auditions to fill the cast with different people. And when I held the auditions, I didn't like the turnout, so I went online to cast people through there. It's always tough. Nothing is just smooth sailing. But the thing about it is that I can already see the play. I already saw it. It's already done. Like in my head, I have already done it. So I just have to do it in real life. So I've casted it. I wrote the song. It's fully casted now. I have all the talent that I need. It's a performance art special. So the thing about art is when you get into theater, you have most theater is drama. It's the formatting is 1 act, 2 act, 3 acts. But there's another element of theater that people ignore on a small scale because it takes large scale money. And that element is what we call performance art. So for example, most musicals and most dances like Nutcracker would be performance art. So the thing I did was with Vincent, I said, I don't want to make it a typical 1 act play. Let me make it a performance art. That way I can introduce all elements of art that I can to express how I feel about Vincent Van Gogh. And how I feel about him is that he's one of the greatest artists ever. So how can I express this? Well, one, it has to be educational. And two, since it's a stage play, there has to be an element of drama. So in order to make it educational, what I did was I made the play set up like as if you were going to a museum to learn about Vincent Van Gogh. And in terms of the performance art, what I did is the story is told through a poet, a singer, a musician, and actors. But while the actors are acting out this museum scene, because they're at a museum on the play, while they're acting, I'm painting Van Gogh's most famous artwork, which is Starry Night, the entire time. So I think, like I said, in my head, it's already done, but I just really think it's a remarkable idea, and I can't wait for the rest of the world to see it, even though I've seen it already in my head.
Okay. And thanks for sharing that and elaborating so we could kind of get the vision that you have. And yeah. I see some artwork behind you. Is that something that you have done?
Yeah, that's a print. That's not the actual original. That's just a copy. So when somebody wants my art, they can order prints or they can order on a shirt. Like I have merchandise here. I have mugs. Don't have time to grab this. I have different stuff I was going to show you, but it's all good. If it was closer, I would have just grabbed. But okay. Yeah, I have mugs, shirts, rolling trays, tote bags. I have so much different merchandise on my website based on my artwork.
And then the other question that I want to ask before I throw you an audible here is, I know in the Houston area, there are some Title I schools, so the schools that don't have a lot of money backing them. And, you know, there's the BIPOC community where there's not a lot of resources for those individuals, and they do want to study art. They do want to do other things. Have you partnered in those spaces, like kind of as a community event or nonprofit, to just kind of be the saving grace for those youths where they to the outside world, they may be wayward, you know, they may be lost or heading towards incarceration?
You know, I've tried with some, and I hope this conversation makes others reach out to me. But I have tried to partner with different people, and I've run into the issue is that they don't actually know who I am, even though I'm in Houston, even though I may be popular in Houston. And I've been actually shut down a lot from access to stuff like that. So that's unfortunate. But like I said, this year I was really focused on stage plays. So I can't speak for this year, but I know last year I did a lot. And I got shut down more often than I would think I would. And it didn't discourage me or anything, but I'm definitely looking forward to doing that more often in the future, because that is one of the things that actually does sustain me. Like when I can, especially the youth, I'm not too good with adults, but kids, I have a lot of patience with kids. They have so much time, you know, left that I can fight with them. I can fight that battle of stubbornness with them, because I'm like, you got all day, I got all day. Like, let's see who wins. And I usually win. Because I'm trying to help them. You know what I mean?
All right. And one thing I would say, or, you know, challenge you, is don't give up on the adults, because there may be an adult that may be your age and they're still trying to figure it out, and they may have went through incarceration or et cetera. And you never know how your story could speak to where they are present day, even though that you feel like they're not, like, you know, they're not on your level, or you feel like you have more time with the youth. I always say, just have some saving grace and compassionate for those where we often overlook. And, you know, I'm speaking for myself too, because sometimes I'm like, no ham, no cheese, no turkey. I'm not going to bother with that individual because I don't want that stress. But sometimes it's those people that we need to reach out to, that, you know, on the outside, they may look fine, but internally they're really crying out for help. And all they're hoping for is that someone would just talk to them. Someone would be a lending ear, a shoulder, a sounding board. And so there's so many people out there that we can reach if we just get outside of where we think that's not our purview. But, you know, it never hurts to try. And I just want to put that challenge out there for you, but also, you know, myself, because iron sharpens iron. And then now I'm going to throw you an audible before we jump to the CTA. So is there something that I have not asked you around the topic today that you want to share with the audience?
No, I can't think of anything, honestly. I appreciate you. I really appreciate you. Because I try to really be engaged with whoever I'm talking to and not stray. And I wanted to answer anything you had, because I feel like that's what makes the connections good, is that, you know, you are who you are and I am who I am. So let me focus on what me and you can do together. But I don't come in thinking like, this is what I want to talk about. So it's all good.
Okay, perfect. So now let's jump into the CTA, because I always like to leave a challenge for the audience too, because what good is hearing stories, hearing tips, tricks, and tools if you're not going to take what you have heard and apply it? So what would your call to action be for the amazing gemmers out there?
To support people who have good character and integrity. And I know you wouldn't know that offhand, or just how could you really know that? But there's enough data out here usually to research people and get an idea of what people are talking about and what they believe. And the reason why I say that you want to support those type of people is because as time goes on, like as life goes on, eventually very shitty people end up in power because people keep enabling them. And if you don't, it may be funny or cool at first, but if you don't nip that out the way, you get left with something you're unhappy with for your own future. And I'm not trying to sound too political here, but it happens a lot. And it happens a lot in presidencies to where people vote or don't vote based on whatever they wanted to. And then they find out that, oh, this person is really not who I thought they were, or this not who I thought they were. This person has always been like this, and I should not have did this. And I really take that serious, that people should start looking up who people truly are before they start supporting them.
Okay, so let's put that to the test. What did you find out about me before you reached out to Jen, to the podcast?
I actually listened to this one podcast. I think it was, you interviewed somebody named Terry. I just listened to the whole show. And I didn't like look you up, to be honest with you. I just interviewed and I just thought that all right, so I would think that this person is genuine, is what I kind of got, the vibe I got. So it wasn't like I didn't listen to it and come up with I wasn't looking for like, oh man, does this person sound like a good person? You sounded like a genuine, cool person. So you didn't give me that. I didn't judge a character as if this that you're full of it. Like, so it was cool.
Okay, cool.
And I believe that was somebody named. Did you interview somebody named Terry?
I did. I have.
Okay. Because I can't remember. Like, I just know their name was Terry. It's spelled T-E-R-I-I.
Yeah, I have so many episodes in the books now. It's like 768. But yeah, Terry was super dope, super cool. Like, I interviewed like a lot of amazing people, and they all like, they're all so unique. And it's like, man, 30 minutes flies by so fast. And I'm like, dang, there's so much more that I want to ask. But you know, 30 minutes, I'm like, I want to be like Rachel Ray. You can eat a meal in 30 minutes. You can listen to Genesis in 30 minutes. Bada bing, bada boom. So I love that you did your due diligence and you actually took the time to listen. One of the things that I want to really put out there for the audience is how they could connect with you and learn more about the work that you're doing. So what is your website and what's the best way they can reach you?
artbykevo.com, artbykevo. And if you're on Instagram, it's Kevo Arts, KevoArts. And I appreciate all of you for listening. And I hope that this episode finds the right person.
Yes, amazing. And you are so loved, y'all. I want to tell you that from my heart to your ears. And I want to encourage you to keep being you, because if you aren't living, then you're merely existing. It's time for you to get out of your shell. It's time for you to go through your own metamorphosis and really fly and bloom, because the world needs you to be you. There's no one else that could do it like you. So it's time for you to do the damn thing and stop playing it safe. And my challenge for you is that you listen to this segment and learn that your past does not depict where you are going future. Mm-hmm. Your future is so much brighter than your past. And if you think about it from a car analogy, the windshield is always bigger than the rearview mirror, because what's out in front of you is so much bigger and brighter than what's behind you. So my challenge for you is to share this segment with somebody else, whether it's a family member, a friend, or someone that you know that needs some inspiration and some motivation. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We're on 40 plus audio platforms, and the video is on YouTube. All you got to do is type the name of the show, Gems with Genesis Amaris Kemp, and support us and leave a review. Digital currency is king, y'all. Let me know what you like, what you don't like, because feedback is a gift. And my big ask is for brand sponsors, because it does take monetary resources to fuel the mission and the movement. So signing out, Genesis Amaris Kemp and Kevin Arigbe. Peace, y'all. All right.